ahead, Prabhu, please.
ओम ज्ञान तिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। सो व्हाटएवर नोट्स आई एम मेकिंग इट इज जस्ट प्रभुजी क्लास ओनली। आई जस्ट व्हाटएवर प्रभुजी मेड द पीपीटीज आई जस्ट कन्वर्टेड इनटू माइंड मैप्स। आई डिडंट ऐड एनीथिंग एंड सम पॉइंट्स व्हिच प्रभुजी ऐड्स इन द क्लासेस आई ट्राई टू fit them also, but in this it is exclusively, it is just Prabhuji's PPT only, so there is nothing in my credit. It is Prabhuji's note. I am just presenting in a different way. So here I was very inspired by this commentary of Bhakti Vignan Goswami Maharaj, so I requested Prabhuji I'll make for this. So here we are having this is understanding of the verse. The path is I'm not going for the shloka, so this is just verse only. The path is of devotional service, the traveler is sadhaka, that all of we are. Highway robbers are lust, anger, greed, so they are going to attack us, and they are going to hold our neck, which is devotional progress, and they are binding, that means choking our devotional progress. And wicked deed increased by lust, anger, greed, and we are crying out piteously. We should cry out piteously, seeking help. Hanyeham, my spiritual life is getting finished. And from whom we should cry? We should take help from the devotees. So now Raghunath Das Goswami, he says, our life consists of futile efforts. The effort we make in this world and the four fruits are both asat and make us suffer. So we should go for devotional service. Also, he says that the karma which we create had tied us. But along with this, there are other things which are causing us great problem when we are going to go on a spiritual path. So here he says, then we are attacked by the gang, Vetikare, gang of thugs. And Pasha Libir, they have tied with the rope. And what are that? The chief of the gang is lust. Five underlyings are kama, krodha, lobha, moha. So these are the thugs who are going to tie us. Of course, in this one important point, we think that now I need little money. I will first earn them peacefully, perform bhajan after 30 years. So in this way, many people don't take it seriously. We made little, or after 30 years, we see that we made little or no spiritual progress. So these meaningless efforts helplessly engage us in material activity, and we create more and more vasanas. So that is the cause we get bound up in this material world. Even if we are going out in the spiritual path, these are the tucks who are going to catch us. And while walking on the spiritual path, out of nowhere they attack and crying out and circling. And what they do, they also start tearing up, and they not only rob us but they also kill us. So now here then Maharaj discusses about the each and everyone. He is explaining what is lust. So here, so Raghunath Das Goswami gives advices, but before that he explains, Maharaj is explaining what gives rise to lust. So what is called, it is said from Bhagavad Gita, it is sankalpa prabhavan kama, the determination to enjoy. So this is more before specific desire, like say I want a car, I want a house, I want something. We have a focus on enjoying in this material world. So everybody, we have a specific desire that I want to enjoy, means in general. So Bhagavad Gita calls it from sankalpa, so the desire to enjoy. It is more subtle than lust. Lust is a more this determination, more generic determination. Then it comes into specific. Specific is, lust is specific desire that stifle us. That means personification of our gross and subtle material desires. So we become a particular item or anything. So it has a very specific shape. So it comes from the determination to enjoy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also explained the same thing in a different way. He says, kama is nija sambhoga, desire to please our own self and ourselves only. So the desire for our own satisfaction, which is derived from the fact we left Krishna and turned away. So now what is the problem with lust is it is most difficult to get rid of. So we think if I fulfill my desires, I'll be happy. But the problem is, by the time we fulfill one desire, another desire is born. And by the time another desire is born, so because some desires are always unfulfilled, we remain unhappy. So it's very difficult to get rid of these desires. And the strongest manifestation is sexual desire, as long as a person has a body and mind, lust is there. Now, the bottom line of lust is we have turned away from Krishna. So this is a shloka Prabhuji discussed. Isha dapetasya, turned away from Krishna. We have turned away. Why it is born? Because we turned away from Krishna. What happened? Tanmayato. Maya Devi catches us and we viparaya smriti. So then there is forgetfulness of one's constitutional position. This is avaranatmika shakti. And identification with matter, that is prakshepatmika shakti. And dvitiya abhinivesha, absorbed trying to enjoy the matter. And fifth one is a bhayam, and there is actually a fear. So these are the things, that is the main reason what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling is we have turned away from Krishna. So now we love ourselves and want to satisfy our senses. So this is a bottom line for lust. And now how to solve it? Krishna gives, of course, different people have different disciplines, have different solutions. From Bhagavad Gita, the solution is in 6.24, Krishna says, give up all sense objects, that is, close eyes to all sense objects. Closing eyes means basically inputs we should not take from our senses, eyes, ears, especially where the advertisement come, which increases our lust, and stop all endless desires. So, with the help of mind, master our senses. So we have to, and that of course it comes in Baldev Vidya Bhushan, Ramanujacharya also says, with the help of intelligence, we should master our mind. This is a solution Krishna gives. So, and the purport for that, Baldev Vidya Bhushan tells, with the help of mind, one has to give up all vasanas. That means the impressions which we have created from previous experiences, all the imprints of pleasures which are there in our memory, we have endless memories of all these pleasures. So we have to give up them. And we should begin to mentally analyze material enjoyment. So it is cost benefit analysis. Okay, how much I have enjoyed? Did it really give me pleasure? So in that way, we gradually take away the intelligence from the meditation of on the sense objects. So this is what Baldev Vidya Bhushan says. Ramanujacharya explains also a little similarly. There are two kinds of desires which are generated by the mind, and those arising from contact between sense and the senses and the sense objects. So generated by the mind can be easy to give up with the help of mind only, and that is same thing. Like this is also cost benefit analysis only. So there is so many mundane relationships we have because of, with the help of mind, we try to derive some pleasures in it, and by understanding they are temporary and unbeneficial. At the time of death, no one can help us. So what is the point of having these desires and trying to fulfill with the help of mind, especially all these relationships? So we try to analyze like that so that our desires don't increase in this direction, and which are generated by senses, and reflecting that despite of all our efforts, we have not got anything. So here also we analyze like that. Of course, in between this point is when we face the terrible problems resulting from our karma, we can cling to the tiny island of Krishna consciousness and chant Hare Krishna, because these are things very big. At least some island of Krishna consciousness is what is very important, and if island becomes very big, that is very good. Then this is a topic which starts, but in bit before that there is explanation. There is a relation between the enemies. Before that, there are some explanations about lust and all further. So the gang of thugs have been friends with us over a long time. We have become a member of that gang. We think they are myself only. All these enemies, we identify so much with them. So Krishna calls it as Kama Rupa, a ghoul, one who can take any shape, comes out to us in undisguised forms also. And so also in the form of Vaishnavas who practice spiritual life from mundane fruits, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Nadhanam. So this is some side. But from here, it starts again about the lust. So here till now, we discussed about how this lust is, how to solve it. So further explanations, what happens if we continue. So this kama generates four types of anartha if you have this lust. So what happens is all these anarthas, they actually cause obstacles to our bhajan. So this is very important. That's why we have to get out of them. And if you have kama, what is the danger is they generate four types of anarthas. Sinful activities, dishkrutottanarthas and sukrutottanarthas and aparadottanarthas and bhaktiyuktanarthas. So this sinful activities and pious activities which are generating this anarthas. So the anarthas generated, they are classified as because they come under ignorance, false ego, attachment to something, aversion to something, fear of death. So these are all because of dushkrutottanartha and sukrutottanartha. And ignorance is the original problem of living entity when he identifies the flesh and blood. All this is result of our past sinful activities, especially dushkrutottanarthas. We start more and more identification with the body is because of more we have committed sinful activities. The more we commit sinful activity, more our consciousness becomes very gross. Then our identity with flesh and blood will increase more. And then we have aparadottanarthas. So offense generate most horrible anarthas. And why this happens is our independent capricious desire to do only what I want is the heart of committing offenses. So if I am in this state, I always commit offenses. Why? Because this desire, we commit offense to Guru or Vaishnavas because they are the obstacle to the realization of my independent desire. So because if I have this independent mentality, I want to fulfill, then anybody comes in between, we try to offend them. Then because of which what happens? We start considering them to be ordinary people. So this is what happens with the aparadottanarthas and bhaktiyuktanarthas are the anarthas of bhakti are desires for name, fame, glorification and respect. Also Prabhuji was mentioning main cause of offense is disrespectful attitude and the solution is cultivate the attitude of respect. And also the cause of this anartha is inability to follow the nectar of instructions, first verse. That's the reason we commit offenses. Vacho vega manasa krodha vega. So now, okay, I have anarthas, they are causing these problems. So if somebody understands this, okay, this is a great problem. So then is vairagya, the detachment is the solution for it. So what is proper detachment and how this type of detachment is not a solution, we'll try to understand. People aware of the problem of kama, so they know, okay, it is danger, by lust is danger. They try to overcome it by applying efforts in practicing renunciation. So, and they do fasting, perform extra austerities and all. But vairagya is not actually solution. So not our practice especially. There are people who practice it and they try to get out of it and with little success. But for us, it is not a practice. Those who practice vairagya as a means of achieving something in spiritual life are just torturing themselves, getting nothing but suffering. Now we say that, okay, but we see that Goswami is like Rupa Goswami is a renounced man. But he did not practice vairagya. For him, it is not end in itself. It was a natural state of his heart. He is naturally detached. He didn't separately practice it. The practice of vairagya begins with austerity. He did not do it. So how to understand that? How, whether it is natural, how it came? How does it manifest? So here the example is given of food. Say, considering our attachment to food, it is said that psychology, average person eats more than needed from psychological point of view. It's a research. Why? As soon as we are born, we start drinking milk. Actually, it is not just milk. Since then, an inner psychological association between food and love takes place in a person. So mother's milk is a manifestation of her love and the baby sucks. They not just sucking the milk, the baby is sucking the love of mother. So that's why you want more and more. So that what happens is that's why we start identifying. There is a connection between food and love that takes place. Therefore, there's a strong emotional association inside it. That food means love. Now, that means what? Basically, we all need love. So we are all looking for love in life. When we have love, we do not need much food or sleep. What to speak of other things to satisfy our lust? So the another form of lust, the perverted form of love is lust. So, like, love is gold and lust is iron. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. So this lust should be replaced with love. So Prabhu just telling, if a malnourished heart, that means he does not have love, then desire for fame, glorification, fault finding, hiding one's whole fault, all these things is because there is lack of love in the heart. Now one has love, vairagya appears in a natural way. And we do not need anything else. All our needs are satisfied because heart is satisfied. So that's why, therefore, Krishna says a person. So here we have example of Raghunath Das Goswami who drinks a glass of buttermilk every 3 days. So that means he don't need, he's satisfied internally. He's getting that energy from it because he has love. And Krishna says, if you artificially try to protect senses from sense objects, it is called mithyachari. So we have to cultivate this love instead of artificially doing it. So till here we have discussed about lust, there what is the consequences it generates, this anarthas, and then we discussed how the replacement of love is not by lust is not by vairagya, but we have to replace lust with love, and that is actually what is satisfying the heart. Then there are eight ascending steps to elevate and eight descending steps that are to fall also. So here, eight steps for fall that is discussed. It starts with meditating on something material. So dhyayato, so meditation. So this is the first steps in the fall down. By nature, we are meditators. So if we observe ourselves, we actually contemplate, reflect, and begin to look, trying to find an object that will make us happy. So this is always our state of consciousness. We try to look happiness. And interestingly, only humans can do this. Other living entities have no choice. We can actually look around and try to observe. But other species sees only what is needed, but we can see everything. Like example is given, a frog cannot see slow-moving objects. For us, we see everything. That's why humans can see everything. Therefore, they develop any desires, we know whatever possible. And how this mechanism of meditation, what happens is, one sees something, start meditating. So once you start meditating and then think, maybe this is what I have been missing. This thought immediately comes. And by focusing on something, one gains more and more confidence. Yes, this is what I need. So this is actually what happens when we start meditating. The nature of meditation is that the more we meditate on something, the greater the attachment becomes to that object. So that is why dhyayato is the first thing. So whatever, if you want to give anything, you make them meditate, and then the things will be, he becomes attached to it. Now vairagis, they say, okay, see the object with magnifying glasses, like you are seeing some beautiful form of any object. If you see magnifying glasses, it will not look very beautiful. It look ugly. When your skin, one layer is removed, the skin looks very ugly. But they are actually ignoring how we are created. So these vairagis, they are not understanding this concept. A person first meditates and then develops attachment. So initially, when he sees some object, there is no attachment. Only if you meditate, there is attachment. So when we see, it is not that just by externally seeing you get attached. When we meditate, then we start getting attracted. If you see three time, four time, then there is. And then when attachment develop, then comes lust. That, so this kama is a huge burst of energy. We feel surge of energy when kama appears. So the kama means, what happens is our intelligence is set to work. So what happens? Intelligence, what is doing, what the intelligence is doing? When I start making plans, so this is how the intelligence is working. For what? Of how to get it. Lust enters my intelligence. So when kama appears, then lust makes a plan how to get it. It means desires. Desires means the scheme of getting that object has already appeared in my mind. Say, for example, a person is going to supermarket and sees something. Then he says, I want it. If I don't have money, then what I should do? Then I start thinking how to get the money. So here intelligence is working. So lust means intelligence starts working. After that, various psychological mechanisms turns on because intelligence starts to work on our senses. So the first is the desire in the mind, then it appears in the intelligence, and then it appears in our senses. So this is how the sequence goes. Now, if what happens after the lust, when the lust, when we try to get what we need, we inevitably encounter obstacles. So when lust, we want to fulfill our desires, then there are obstacles. Now to destroy these obstacles, then we need anger. If somebody is trying to stop us from doing certain things, we use our anger, and then because of that, we may be allowed to do what we want. And when lust is fulfilled, then it becomes greed. So now, anger is called Kamanuja. It is a special energy that destroys obstacles. In my anger, I am prepared to do anything. If someone stands between me and the object of my desire, I am ready to destroy it all. This is all what anger says. Person starts screaming, destroying, eye turns red, and these are the symptoms that happens when anger comes. And what about greed? Lobha. It is a fat guy in the gang. So we are discussing all these gangs who are attacking us. So he is the fattest guy. And Hitopadi says, due to lobha, we lose shame. And also when the greed of satisfied desire develops, we cannot stop it. And we can see, like, no, sometimes we go and meet very big people and they are really making so much money and all. It is as if you have met a drunkard person only, because he's so much intoxicated. We will not understand only that he does not understand. We will see he is like an intoxicated person. This greed is like that. So now this anger, of course, lust only. If the obstacles are too strong for our anger to remove, then fear comes. So this is also another member of the gang. Now we see the relation between the enemies. So this is a small mind map. It is twisting our mind, but it is simple only. Don't get confused. So kama rise to krodha. If it is not fulfilled, it's not a big obstacle. But if it is fulfilled, it becomes lobha, greed. And from kama also comes bhaya. If it is not fulfilled or fulfilled, there are so many things. If fulfilled also, there is bhaya, because we may lose it. If it's not fulfilled, then this is also bhaya. It's a very big obstacle. And all this kama, krodha, lobha, and bhaya all turns into moha. This is illusion. So once a person becomes illusioned, then his desires will increase more. So then everything goes clockwise, because the moha has covered our consciousness. So what is moha, we'll discuss. So moha is, one person is more bewildered, his desires will increase more and more. So then what happens? It is again into kama, krodha, lobha, moha, and again into moha, illusion. So it's a big vicious cycle. They all produce an extremely strong drug inside that obscures consciousness. We act in a way entirely out of character because we forget who we are. So this is all because of illusion. So illusion is when we forget ourselves to such a degree that we are ready to kill someone also. This is the highest degree. So the moha is, we start identifying, this is my father, mother, house. So we all have this moha. We are attached and we start identifying with our country and all. And when we expand our I, and moha makes us expand our ego all over. So more bigger we grow, more moha is increased. More I, then the more ego is also there. I am such a big person. So more big you are, more ego is there. And then from moha, then if I have big things, then what happens? Eventually it leads to pride, and pride and madness. We feel all this is mine. I have so many things and they are all mine. So this is all the words of pride. We cannot tolerate even slight humiliations also if we have pride, moha. Example is of Daksha. Because of this, what happened? This pride, as a result, disrespecting his son-in-law, Lord Shiva, he was decapitated and his head burned to ashes. So in moha, what happens is pride, mada, pride. All others should respect and honor me because I have become very important. So this is mada. And then there is Matsarya is born. So he is the youngest one, at the most dangerous one, is envy. So we start to envy someone for being better than we are even something smaller also. Even a small slightest thing also we become envious. We rejoice when other person is suffering, and then because of Matsarya, our dignity also suffers if we see somebody is little better than us. And then the very fact of their existence is humiliating. So if somebody is better than us, it is so much humiliating to us. So here there is another point Mara is making. Krishna says kama is dushpurena anilena cha. But usually people consider kama to be a friend, and there are several training courses that teach people how to develop their lust also. So till here we saw the connection between all the team members of the thugs, the people who are trying to destroy us on our path of devotional service. Now we have to take help of the devotees, and they are called Bhakka Bhakmagani. So Bhakka, why killer of Bhakasura? Why Bhakka is given? Because Bhakasura is a pretender. So Raghunath Das Goswami calls the police Vaishnavas as an army of Bhakabid. Krishna, who has ripped the hypocritical demon Bhakka into two halves. So yogis try to tear the senses from sense objects, reflecting on the futility of it all. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that is Mithyachari, means pretending, who seemingly renounce sense objects. That is not the way to do. Then what you should do? The problem, so here important point is given. The problem of most kind of yoga is that people are trying to, are starving by their own efforts, striving by their own efforts, but in their minds there lives the memory, vasanas and enjoyment of material life. So this does not go so easily. So what happens? This memory constantly pulls us there and there, even if one is 90 years old also. So then what happens? Externally, we may be completely renounced. Our eyes are closed. We are sitting in lotus posture, externally chanting, but mind is enjoying. So this is very dangerous. What happens? So in this case, the sanskaras, vasanas will remain in the mind and grow stronger. And finally, such persons gets into trouble. So if mind is enjoying like that, so if you give up something, then gradually this memory of past pleasures will diminish. Only when, if you do not meditate on them. So if you don't meditate, then only it will go. Otherwise, if you are enjoying in the mind doing it, then it gives into much more trouble. At one point, the person breaks down and start trying to enjoy as much as they can. So like Prabhupada says, a person fasting without real reason at some point loses control and began to eat everything. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada said that instead of fasting, it is better to eat something. Now, Bakasura is also figuratively a yogi. Bakasura is a heron. It also demonstratively stands on one leg, like yogi standing on one leg, elegantly holding up the second leg. He has no problem whatsoever with keeping balance. On one leg, it meditates with closed eyes, and as soon as a frog jumps, it eats it up. So it is very hypocritical. Looks like a yogi, but meditating on something nonsense. And again, meditate, and again looks completely self-absorbed, eyes closed, standing on one leg. But in so this is why Bakasura means cheater. So here we have example of Saubari Muni, how he was submerged in water for many years, austerities, and then he saw fishes mating. He got disturbed and came and married 50 daughters of Mandata. So he became again the servant of lust. So we have taken the spiritual path, but the highwaymen attack us in the dark and begin strangling us. If that happens, we have to cry out, Hanyeham, they are killing me, save me. We must call the policeman whose leader is Bhakabit and the one who ripped Bhakasur apart. Our mind should loudly, our mind, oh mind, shout loudly, help, help. We will be rescued by Krishna himself when we call for the devotee police officers. So when we are calling for devotees, so Krishna takes it very seriously and he will help. So Vaishnava police save us. How they save? What actually saves us is the society of Vaishnavas. If we meditate on sense objects, at one point our desire will grow so strong that we can do nothing but cast prudence to the wind. A devotee dealing with, so here an example is given, a devotee dealing with drugs says, as long as I am with devotees, I feel no desire and it is nice. But as soon as I leave devotees, I'll again get addicted. So this is what he is confessing. And this is true. If you are staying with Vaishnavas, we'll be saved from so many dangerous things. Conquering the enemies ahead, headed by lust is not going to work by our own effort. So if I want to overcome giving up TV, serial, or all this social media or any other nonsense, it is not so easy on our own. So we have to call devotees who will save us from hypocrisy. If we remain in the association of devotees, lust goes away and only desire that remains inside is to serve Krishna. To be constantly situated at the lotus feet of Vaishnava is the only safe place in the world where we can feel protection against all enemies. So if there is no Vaishnava, another sadhu sangha, another way of sadhu sangha is reading books and listening to lectures. And sadhu sangha is life saving. All problems in spiritual life are due to lack of taste. So here our heart is overflowing with love for material objects. So that is a problem. What prevents us from relishing spiritual taste are the anarthas. Then when we meet sadhus, they help us develop the taste for sadhana bhakti. So here we have the story of Jeevan Thakur, who got this Parasamani from Sanatan Goswami, and then we know how he got the holy name. So then we have three points. Rupa Goswami explains the mechanism, how Sadhu Sangha works. We have three explanations. Sadhu Sangha, Rupa Goswami says, our mind is like a crystal. He quotes from Hiranyakashipu from 7th canto, is like a crystal, and when something comes close to the mind, gets reflected there. So when we approach sadhu, the qualities of sadhu began to be reflected in our mind. So we began to feel the pale shadow. So we go to sadhus, that's why mind also start reflecting that qualities. When Raghunath Das Goswami call for sadhus and we'll feel immediately relieved. And Vishnu Chakra Thakur also gives another example how sadhus work. He says Vaishnavas are stronger than Krishna. He gives an example. There are two forms of unwanted association. Association of women, association with one who is attached to women. He says when associating with that person who is attached to women, we begin to feel the taste and we inevitably get attached. So that is more dangerous, attachment to a person who is attached to women. So similarly, Vishnu Chakravarti says, such association with Krishna is not so important, for association with Krishna may or may not give taste. But associated with Vaishnavas who have taste will impart the taste to us, because this taste is reflecting in our consciousness. So in this way, by taking help of Vaishnavas to overcome that lust and all the gang which we have seen, such a big gang of people are there who are attacking from inside. So we need association of devotees, and this is how we can get. So thank you very much.
Jai, thank you, bro. It was really amazing. As usual. Just that some devotees could have felt it a little bit overwhelming, because Prabhuji covered in half an hour what we had covered in almost like 15, 16 hours. So that's why, you know, you might find it a little bit overwhelming. But from next session onwards, he'll be recapping only the previous session, you know, whatever is covered in 2 hours. That he will cover, so that will not be so overwhelming. But because he had covered hundreds of slides, actually Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj commentary is, you know, probably how many slides, bro? It must be about 100 slides, right? More than that, probably
150 slides.
150 slides he summarized in about 8 slides. How many
eight pages.
8 pages he covered, and what was covered in 150 slides. So that's why it became a little overwhelming. But from next session onwards, you know, he'll be covering only what we covered in one session, only the previous session, so that will be more digestible. So today we will be starting the sixth verse. We till now we covered actually five verses. Let's do a quick recap of what we saw in those five verses in order to get a sort of continuity to start the sixth verse. Just hold on for a second. So we saw, I will do a quick recap of just the five verses that we have seen. I will just share the screen with you. Yeah, I have not shared the screen. I know that. I'm going to share the screen now. So we first started by discussing that what is it that we need to do in order to establish a relationship with Krishna. So he says, in order to establish a relationship with Krishna, we have to do two things. One is to give up attachment to give up our past attachment, our past upadhis, and then develop newer upadhis which are very favorable for establishing a relationship with Krishna. So in that he says, Gurau Goshte Goshtalayeshu Sujane Bhusuragane Swamantre Srinamni Vraja Navayuva Dvandva Sharane. He says, Sada Dambam Hitva Kururatim Apurvam Atitaram Aye Swantar Bhratas Chatubir Abhyache Dhritapada. So he tells, my dear mind, first thing is, he says, Sada Dambam Hitva. So he said, Dambam here, as we saw last time, Dambam is our, you can say, like our material attachments, of which pride is also a manifestation of our material attachment. But in this context, Dambam does not just refer to pride. Dambam refers to our material attachments, of which pride is a particular manifestation of our material attachments. So when he says Sada Dambam Hitva, it means gradually give up your material upadhis. Okay. And that's what we saw. This Sada Dambam Hitva is further explained in 4, 5, 6, 7, 4 verses, of which we have seen 2 verses already, 4 and 5. Okay. But not only should we give up our material designations, but he says we should also develop unprecedented excessive attachment. Kuru Ratim Apurvam Atitaram. So we should develop unprecedented and excessive attachment to Gurau, to our Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru, Goshte, and to Sri Vrindavan, Goshtalayishu, and to the Vrajavasis, Sujane, unto all the Vaishnavas, Bhusuragane, unto the Brahmanas, Swamantre, unto the mantra that the Guru has given to us, which is the Gayatri mantra, Shri Namni, the holy name of the Lord, Vraja Nava Yuva Dvandva Sharane, and the process of surrendering to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So he says, so we have to give up our Sarvopadi Vinir Muktam. We have to give up all our material upadhis, and not only that, actually we should develop spiritual upadhis. Spiritual upadhi is actually Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Dasanudas, servant of Krishna in a particular mood. But in order to develop that particular upadhi, of a servant of Krishna in one of the five rasas, one has to start that procedure by establishing a relationship with those things, people, and places which are very dear to Krishna. So this is when we develop great attachment to Krishna's tadiya, that is the easiest way to develop attachment to Krishna, right? So that's what he says. Sada dambam hitva kuru ratim apurvam atitaram. Try to develop attachment to unprecedented excessive attachment to these eight items. And if you remember long time back, we discussed about what are the different ways, what are the things that we can do to develop attachment to these eight things, the practical things that we can do to develop attachment to the eight things. So automatically, when we slowly develop this new upadhi of being the servant of Krishna, by developing attachment to those things, people and places connected with Krishna, then naturally the other upadhis start weakening. Okay, just hold on for one second. So that is what we saw in the first verse. Then in the second verse, Raghunath Das Goswami mentioned, actually, now that you have started this, started establishing a relationship with things connected to me, one thing that you should do is you should change your paradigm of thinking and functioning. So one should change one's paradigm of thinking and functioning, which means one should stop thinking in terms of dharma and adharma and start thinking in terms of what is anukul for bhakti and what is pratikul for bhakti, right? Nadharmam nadharmam shrutigana niruktam kilakuru vraje radha krishna prachura paricharyam ihatanu shachi sunum nandishwarapati sutatve guruvaram mukunda prishtatve smara padam ajasram nanumana. So he says, well, till now, if you have lived a life always thinking in terms of is it dharma, is it adharma, is it dharma, is it adharma, or is it likable to me or is it not likable to me, stop giving up that paradigm of thinking and start thinking in terms of what would be pleasing to Radha and Krishna, what would be pleasing to my guru. Vraje Radha Krishna Prachura Paricharyam Ihatanu. So this change of paradigm is what he is suggesting in the second verse. Okay. And in fact, this change of paradigm is a symptom of faith. It's a very telltale symptom of pure devotional faith. When one starts reorienting his own thought process, where instead of thinking whether I like it or not, or instead of thinking whether it is dharmic or not, he starts thinking in terms of whether it is likable to Krishna or not, right? Whether it is pleasing to my guru or not. Then another two very important points that Raghunath Das Goswami mentions in this verse is that what is the role of worshipping guru, and what is the role of worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? If the purpose of life is to establish a relationship with Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, then what is the role of worshipping Guru and Gaura? So here he says, oh, worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is absolutely important. Why? Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. He says, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Krishna who has come in the mood of Radharani. So therefore, if you want to attain a relationship with Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, for us, it is only through the root of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then one may say, okay, accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What about Guru? What is the need for Guru? He says, Guruvaram Mukunda Prishtatve Smaramana. My dear mind, understand that the Guru is the dearmost servant of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. So therefore, my means of establishing a relationship with Radha and Krishna is through the guidance and recommendation of my Guru only. So therefore, worship of Guru is absolutely integral to establishing a relationship with Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. So therefore, in the second verse, he talks about the role of Guru, the role of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the role of worshipping Guru, role of worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the importance of making this paradigm shift. So these three things are mentioned in the second verse. Then he says, well, fine, I will develop attachment towards these eight things, try to give up the material upadhis, I'll start thinking in terms of what is anukul for bhakti and what is pratikul for bhakti rather than dharma dharma. I will worship the Guru, I will worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all that, fine. But can I also take teachings from other sampradayas? Can I also start following the other sampradaya teachings? If I want to establish, if the goal of my life is to establish a relationship with Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. So here Raghunath Das Goswami says, no, that is not possible. Yadichir avasam vrajabhuvi saragam pratijanur yuvadvandvam tachet paricharitum arad abhilashe swarupam shrirupam saganamiha tasya grajamapi sputam premna nityam smara nama tadatvam shrunumana. So he says, my dear mind, tvam yadi ichchehe, if you so desire, pratijanuhu, life after life, vrajabhuvi avasam, if life after life, if you desire to live in the land of Vraja with great attachment, saragam, and if you desire to serve the youthful couple while staying there, if you desire to serve Radha and Krishna in great proximity, then remember this very clearly, he says. Tada, then, sputam smara, very clearly understand this point, that it is possible only by offering obeisances, which means by taking the shelter of swarupam shrirupam saganamiha tasyagrajamapi. It is possible only by taking shelter of Swarup Damodar Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatan Goswami and all their associates, which means if your desire is very specific, then you have to, the path is narrow only. The path is not very broad. So basically he says, if you have a very specific desire, why do you think that the path will be very broad? The path will also be narrow. So that's what he is telling here. Yadichir avasam vrajabhuvi saragam pratijanur. Yuvadvandvam tachet paricharitum arad abhilashe swarupam shrirupam saganamiha tasyagrajamapi sputam premna nityam smara nama tadatvam shrunamana. Don't search elsewhere. Everything is there in what the acharyas have given, our acharyas have given. Not that what the acharyas in the other paramparas given, that it, not that it is not bona fide, but the point is, it will lead you to a different part of the spiritual world. If that is what is our desire, then we can go there, right? So if you want to go to a very specific part of the spiritual world, then there is a very specific train that you have to board. That is the train If you want to go to Goloka Vrindavan, board that train that goes to Goloka Vrindavan, and that is led by Swarup Damodar Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and all the other Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. So this is the third point that he mentions. These are like very, very, very important do's, very important principles. Then from the fourth verse onwards, he started discussing how to accomplish this sada dambam hitva. How to give up this material upadis. He says in the fourth verse, first thing, asad varta vesha visrijamati sarvasva harani katam mukti vyagrya nashrunu kila sarvatma gilani api tyaktva lakshmi patiratim ito vyoma nayanim vraje radha krishnau swarati manidau tvam bhajamana. So he says that first in the fourth verse he addresses three gross obstacles one should constantly try to overcome. First he says is asadvarta. Asadvarta means you can say like either prajalpa, talking mundane subject matters, or asadvarta also means those activities with enhances one's asat trishna, thirst for material enjoyment. So he says that this is atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha laulyamcha shadbir bhaktir vinashyati. So these are the six things when one indulges in, it naturally increases the material thirst. So he says asad varta veshya. Indulging in these activities is like a prostitute which will steal away our hard-earned spiritual credits. Second thing he says is katha mukti vyagrya na shrunu kila sarvatma gilani. He says mukti katha or discussion about topics of liberation, even that will distract us, because absorbing in one's own liberation or emancipation or freedom from material suffering is also a very strongly selfish desire, and that will also distract us from thinking about Krishna. So one has to give up that association also. Third thing is very interesting. He says api tyaktva lakshmi patiratim ito vyomanayanim. Please give up attachment to worshipping Lakshmi Narayan also. Why? Otherwise you will land up in Vaikuntha. If your goal is Goloka Vrindavan, then develop attachment to worshipping Radha and Krishna only. This is the, in the fourth verse he talks about these three gross obstacles, which is activities which enhance our material thirst, an aspiration and discussions about mukti, and the third is attachment to worshipping other forms of the Lord other than Radha and Krishna. These three. Okay. And in the fifth verse, we completed discussing last week. Of course, last week we didn't have because of Srila Prabhupada's appearance day celebration. But the week before that, we completed the fifth verse where he talks about little more subtler obstacles which manifest in the form of lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion, and pride. Asat cheshta kashta prada vikata pashali biriha prakamam kamadi prakata patapati vyatikaraihi gale badva hanyeham iti bakabid vartmapagane kurutvam futkaran avati sayata tvam manayita. So he says, while we are on this path of the revealed path of devotion, that which our acharyas have beautifully revealed for us, there are a group of thugs or highway robbers that are waiting, right, to attack us. So who are these highway robbers? Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Madamatsarya. So these six highway robbers are waiting, and they are waiting with ropes in their hands, and the ropes are actually Kashtaprada Vikatapashalibir, Asachesta. Asachesta means wicked deeds which are inspired by this Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Madamatsarya. So they are compared to actually ropes which can bind us, or which can bind our neck, which means which can choke our devotional progress. So what we should do if we are attacked by these enemies? He says, Hanyeham, Hanyeham, iti kurutvam futkaran. Cry out piteously that I am killed, I am killed, I am being killed, like that. Cry out to catch whose attention? He says, Bakabidvartma pagane. Cry out to the devotees of Shri Krishna, who are the destroyer, who is the destroyer of Bakasur. And when you call out to them, they will come and save you. So here there is an important thing that we saw, that many things we saw. Don't be alone, and always be in the association of devotees. Establish, seek help from devotees, and for that establish pleasant relationships with devotees, so that we feel comfortable to seek help from them. And if we have that kind of an association, then we are literally millionaires, actually. That is what, if there is the essence of this whole thing, is if there is something that is worth earning, it is worth earning one meaningful, trustworthy, affectionate devotee relationship. The rest is all useless endeavor, actually. So that is what this says. If you have, if you are in trouble, and if you have at least one person whom you can call without any inhibition and seek help, then we are really very fortunate. So that's what, so two levels of enemies that we saw. The first, grossest level, the grossest ones are the easiest to tackle. The subtler ones are more and more difficult to tackle. So the grossest ones, we saw this Atyahara Prayasascha, etc. And Mukti Kata, and the attachment to worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. And now in this fifth verse, he is talking about subtler enemies in the form of lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion, and pride. And last many weeks, we have been discussing about this fifth verse based on commentaries by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj, Urmila Mataji, and so on. So we will, this is like a, you know, just like a recap of the five verses that we have already seen. So now we are going to go one step deeper. So little bit more deeper obstacles on the path of devotional service. That's what we are going to see in this next verse. But before we start the next verse, if there are any quick comments, questions, discussion points, some thoughts that you might want to share, anything, so you can please raise your hands. And we can have a small discussion, and then we can move on to the sixth verse. Anything that you might want to share, it might be a question or some thoughts or some comments, or some suggestions, whatever it may be, you can please share. I'll pause for a minute or so to see if anyone has something that you might want to share. ओके, यामिनी माता जी।
प्रभुजी
दंडवत माता जी।
अ कंफ्यूजन ओनली इन माय माइंड. सो दिस बुक टॉक्स सो मच अबाउट डम एंड फीलिंग, आई मीन फीलिंग कॉन्शियस अबाउट डम इज हेल्दी एज इट प्रोटेक्ट्स आवर वर्च्यूज एज अ वैष्णवा. बट एट द सेम टाइम आई मीन इट इज जस्ट माय कंफ्यूजन ओनली, नो ऑफेंसेस अगेंस्ट एनीथिंग, बट इज इट नॉट अ नेगेटिव कोनोटेशन? Because if we replace the same word dambha with blessing, that will also make us insignificant and will also overshadow our false ego, and in a positive manner.
Well, you are telling that why so much emphasis on?
No, because it is like I have started feeling all the time that it will bring dambha to me. Anything I'm doing will bring dambha in me.
Okay. Okay.
So then I started thinking, what is the, I mean, just substituting this word dambha with blessing, will it not turn everything into a positive manner? Because
well,
if we say it is a blessing on us, that also overshadows our false ego. And that also keeps us insignificant.
Yeah, but even to feel insignificant, we should actually know the actual obstacles, na? For example, if we think blessings, and then simultaneously we are, let's say for the first verse or the first set of obstacles, we feel blessings and we are indulging in prajalpa. So that will be an obstacle, right? Or if we are thinking about blessings at the same time, we are, instead of developing attachment to worshipping Radha and Krishna, we are attached to worshipping other forms of the Lord, then even though we are counting on blessings, we may thinking about blessings, we may be thinking about blessings, but at the same time, the blessings will not lead to development of attachment to Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, right? So while we have to definitely think and count and rejoice and be grateful about the blessings that we receive, we should also know and be aware of the obstacles. But that does not mean that we become paranoid thinking about the obstacles. But we just have to know that, you know, these are the obstacles, real obstacles that we may face on the path to devotion. And there are some suggestions or you can say like solutions that have been given to overcome these obstacles. So, therefore, yes, it's very, very helpful to meditate on, you know, the blessings. But at the same time, one should also know unconsciously try to overcome the obstacles which may even stop us from accessing genuine blessings, actually. Is that relevant?
Yes, that obstacles, maybe I was
insane. Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Anything you would like to share? Okay. So if there are no further comments or questions. Okay. Madhavi Gopi Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Dhanyavad Prabhuji. Prabhuji, this whole thing has given me insight that, you know, as a Vaishnava, how I should be. Like, means, like all these years, we improve as a Vaishnava over a period of time. But this, especially the previous verse, which we did that we should cry out for the help of Vaishnava and there should be somebody, the close Vaishnava, where we can confide really when we are in problem. And the Vaishnava who will think that he will not give value judgment on my state, but he will consider my state and help me really to come out of it. So that has really given me insight that while dealings with other Vaishnavas, how we should be, like we should have that kind of a behavior so that somebody will feel, you know, close to confide their own problems, right?
Correct.
And we should not be judgmental in any case. This is quite a big insight for me. I feel that I should work on it more.
Yeah, that's very correct. Yes, thank you very much, Mataji. Thanks. Thank you very much. Yeah, anyone else would like to share something? Okay. So I think then we will start with the sixth verse of Manasiksha. I will just share the screen. So, we will chant the verse. As we saw before, the sixth verse gives the third, more subtler layer of anarthas. Even if one may have overcome kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madamatsarya to various degrees, there is a subtler anartha which is even more difficult to overcome. What is that anartha? That's what we are going to see now. So, here we will chant the verse. Very, very striking verse. He says, Are cheta prodyat kapata kutinati barakara Kharan mut Tresnatva dahasi katamatma namapimam sadatvam gandharva giridhari pada prema vilasat sudam bodhausnatva swamapi nitaramam chasukaya. So he says, Are cheta, oh ruffian mind. Are chet. Katam dahasi. Why are you burning? Atmanam, yourself. Api mam. Why are you burning yourself and me? So yourself, he is addressing the mind. My dear mind, why are you burning yourself and me? So mam is the soul. And cheta and atmanam and cheta is the mind. So, Raghunath Das Goswami is addressing his mind, of course not his mind. He is requesting us to address our own minds. And he says, O ruffian mind, why do you burn yourself and why do you burn me, the soul? And what is burning? He says, Kshan Mutre Snatva. Kshan means trickling. Okay, mutre is urine. Snatva means by taking bath. Right? Why are you burning yourself and me by bathing in the trickling urine of whose urine? He says Bhara Kara. Bhara means bada, the big. Kara. Kara is donkey. Why are you burning yourself and me by bathing in the trickling urine of the great donkey? So the purpose of bathing is to cleanse and purify. But what happens when one takes bath in urine? So he becomes all the more dirty. Right? So therefore he says, why are you burning yourself? And the purpose of bathing is not just to purify. The purpose of bathing is twofold. Okay. First is to purify. And the second is to cool down the body. But if we take bath in donkey's urine. Okay. First thing is we become impure, and the second thing is it burns rather than cooling down. So it has the exact opposite effect. So what is compared to this donkey's urine? He says, prodyat కపట కుటినాటి. ప్రోద్యత్ మీన్స్ ఫుల్ బ్లోన్ కంప్లీట్. కపటత మీన్స్ హిపోక్రసీ. ఓకే, అండ్ కుటినాటి మీన్స్ డూప్లిసిటీ. రైట్, సో వాట్ ఈస్ ద వాట్ ఈస్ హిపోక్రసీ అండ్ వాట్ ఈస్ డూప్లిసిటీ? సో హిపోక్రసీ మీన్స్ ప్రిటెండింగ్ టు హ్యావ్ సమ్ యాటిట్యూడ్ విచ్ హ్యాస్ పబ్లిక్ అప్రూవల్. ఓకే, సో యు మే నాట్ హ్యావ్ దట్ క్వాలిటీ, బట్ ప్రిటెండింగ్ టు హ్యావ్ దట్ సో దట్ ద పబ్లిక్ మే అప్రిషియేట్ అస్ ఆర్ యునో ఆర్ దే మే అప్రూవ్ అస్, దర్ మే బి పబ్లిక్ అక్సెప్టెన్స్. సో దిస్ ఇస్ హిపోక్రసీ. అండ్ దెన్ కుటినాటి ఇస్ డ్యూప్లిసిటీ. సో డ్యూ మీన్స్ టూ. సో డ్యూప్లిసిటీ మీన్స్ స్పీకింగ్ ఆర్ యాక్టింగ్ ఇన్ టూ డిఫరెంట్ వేస్ టు టూ డిఫరెంట్ పీపుల్. This is duplicity. So hypocrisy means pretending to have some attitude or some quality which has public approval, and duplicity means speaking or acting in two different ways with two different people for whatever reasons, right? So this is compared to donkey's urine. He says, my dear mind, why are you burning yourself and burning me, the soul, by bathing in the trickling urine of the great donkey, which is hypocrisy and duplicity. Right? So sometimes, to some extent, we may overcome these six enemies, but still to gain victory over this hypocrisy and duplicity is much more difficult. What is the solution? Okay? He says, sada, always, tvam, you, O mind, nitaram, sada and nitaram, nitaram also means always, snatva, you should always take bath. Instead of taking bath in the khara mutra or the donkey's urine, he says you should take bath in the Sudha Ambodav. Ambodav means ocean. Sudha is nectar. You should instead take bath in the nectarian ocean of Gandharva Giridhari Pada Prema Vilasat. You should instead take bath in the nectarian ocean of love emanating from the lotus feet of Sri Sri Gandharvika Giridhari. So rather than falling trapped to this hypocrisy and trying to get some cheap satisfaction through hypocrisy and duplicity, rather why don't you try to take bath always in the nectarian ocean of love emanating from the lotus feet of Sri Sri Gandharvika Giridhari, thereby delighting yourself and me. So in that way, you will also be peaceful, O mind, and as a soul, I will also move towards my destination faster. Right? So what exactly is being suggested here as a solution for hypocrisy and duplicity? What is this love from the lotus feet of Sri Sri Gandharvika Giridhari? So this we should understand. the one understanding is both hypocrisy and duplicity has a very strong self-focus. I want to be seen as a big person, good person, kind person, gracious person, a very like that. So rather start thinking about Radha and Krishna. Start experiencing their love. Start swimming in the oceanic nectarian love of the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. That's what he is telling here. But what it means, the Acharyas will reveal. So again, I will chant the verse once. Are cheta prodyat kapata kuti nati barakara kshan mutre snatva dahasi katamatma namapimam sadatvam gandharva giridari pada prema vilasat sudambodau snatva swamapi nitaramam chasukaya. He says, my dear mind, oh ruffian mind, katam dahasi, why are you burning atmanam, yourself, api mam, and myself? Why are you burning yourself and me? Kshan mutre snatva, by trying to take bath in the trickling urine of Bharakara, of the great donkey. And what is that great donkey? Prodyat kapata kutinati. The full blown hypocrisy and duplicity. Instead, sada tvam nitaram snatva. Instead, you should always bathe sudam bodhav in the nectarian ocean of Gandharva Giridari Pada Prema Vilasat. You should instead take bath in the nectarian ocean of love emanating from the lotus feet of Sri Sri Gandharvika Giridhari. And in this way, what will happen? Sukaya. There will be delight. For whom? Tvam. For you. Api. Chamam. And also for me. For you, the mind. And also for me, the soul. You will be peaceful and happy. And I will get a greater destination of re-establishing my lost connection with Radha and Krishna. So therefore, try to swim in this ocean of love emanating from the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So what it is, we will try to see. Now, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is going to discuss this point. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, this verse gives advice to those practitioners who may be able to subdue the six enemies of lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy, but have failed to vanquish the great enemies of deceit and hypocrisy. So to some extent we may overcome, but when we want to show to others, we want to show as if we have attained something, a position more than what we have actually achieved. So that is actually deceit and hypocrisy. So even though we may have earned some victory over the more grosser external enemies, it takes much more effort and mercy to overcome the still more deep-rooted internal enemies of deceit, hypocrisy, pretense, duplicity, like that. So now let's see the meaning of the verse. So he's going to talk about prodyat, full-blown, kapata, hypocrisy, kutinati, duplicity, bhara, great, khara, as, kshan, trickling, mutre, urine, snatva, by bathing. So we are going to talk about that. What is this full-blown hypocrisy or duplicity of, you know, which is compared to the urine trickling from, by taking bath in the urine that is trickling from an ass. So he says, this verse describes bathing in the trickling urine of the donkey of complete ostentatious duplicity and hypocrisy. Ostentatious means that which has something to do with showing off to others. There are three categories of spiritual practitioners or sadhakas. So he says, this manifestation of this duplicity and hypocrisy will manifest in three different ways to three different sadhakas, he says. So who are these? He says, the Swanishta sadhaka only endeavors to please Sri Bhagavan, Lord Hari, and completely rejects all the regulations and injunctions of Varnashrama Dharma. So this is Swanishta sadhaka, first category. Swanishta sadhaka. Okay. So he has completely given up all the rules and regulations of Varna and Ashrama. Okay. Okay. And he only endeavors to please Krishna. Right. Then there is the second category, who is Parinishtita sadhakas, engage themselves in all prescribed activities, taking shelter of all rites and rituals used to worship the Supreme Lord. Okay, so these are Parinishtita sadhakas. Okay, they engage in all prescribed activities, and taking shelter of all the rites and rituals, but for worshipping Lord. Okay. These two types are grihasthas, householders. So the Swanishta and Parinishtita are householders. The third type of sadhaka is Nirapeksha, a devotee who is renounced. Such persons are of a detached nature and not in the Grihastha Ashrama. Okay. So he says, you can have a Swanishta Grihastha who is completely attached to worshipping Krishna and is not attached to any Varnashrama activities. Or you can have a Parinishtita Grihastha who is who may also perform some Varnashrama duties for setting the right example for others, and also engage in worshipping the Supreme Lord. And the third is the Nirapeksha. He's not a Grihastha, but he's a Grihatyagi, Babaji. And such people, they don't have any inclination to engage in any kind of Varnashrama duties. They are completely detached. They are at the stage of bhava or prema. Okay, so the three types, right? The third is Nirapeksha. So this is completely renounced. He is a Babaji, which means at the stage of bhava or prema. Right? All three types are benefited only when they become thoroughly honest and give up deceit, pretense, and hypocrisy. Otherwise, they are surely vanquished. So all three of them will be benefited only when they become thoroughly honest and give up deceit, pretense, and hypocrisy. So now, as we saw, there is Swanishta. Okay, he is a grihastha and performs only bhakti. Okay, then there is Parinishtita, who is a grihastha and performs bhakti for nourishment. Okay, and favorable varnashram duties for setting example. And then you have the Nirapeksha, who is a Babaji, and he performs only bhakti. Right? So these three categories of people that we see. So each type of sadhaka has distinct ways of exhibiting a deceitful nature. So all three can exhibit deceitful nature in very distinct ways, right? The deceitful nature of the Swanishta sadhaka can be exhibited in six ways, he says. So Swanishta sadhaka is one who is a grihastha, but he performs only bhakti, and he does not probably have any obligation to set an example for other people. So, what are the six ways in which he can exhibit deceitful nature? So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he may indulge in sense gratification on the pretext of satisfying the Supreme God. Okay. So, for example, he may serve the Supreme Lord very opulent foodstuffs so that he can enjoy it himself. Right? So this is indulging in sense gratification on the pretext of satisfying the Supreme Lord. So, see, this is not like he is absolutely not convinced of serving the Supreme Lord, but just that he has gotten carried away. He has gotten carried away in doing this. So this is one way in which Swanishta Grihasthas can. So here, of course, Grihasthas means here sadhakas. So it is not just the householders, it includes others also, brahmacharis also, right? So they may indulge in sense gratification on the pretext of satisfying the Supreme Lord, right? Second category of people are the second way in which one can show, a Swanishta sadhaka can manifest. So this is all for Swanishta sadhakas displaying hypocrisy. Okay, in the following ways. The second way is they may serve rich influential materialists instead of serving simple nirapeksha servants of Krishna. Okay, a simple but very exalted devotee has come, and a very rich influential materialist has come. So instead of taking care of the exalted simple sadhu who may not be able to contribute anything in terms of monetary in a monetary way, you go and serve that rich influential materialist just so that we can get some money from that person. So this is another way in which hypocrisy can show up in Swanishta Sadhakas, right? So Swanishta Sadhakas don't think that Grahastha means only householders. It also includes any Sadhaka. He may be a Brahmachari also. So this symptom can be seen in Brahmacharis also, or Sannyasis also, or Grahasthas also, anyone. And the third thing is accumulating more wealth than would ever be needed. This is also a way, because when we talk about hypocrisy, duplicity, then we should also know what exactly are you talking about and what are the ways in which it manifests. So this is the third way, accumulating more wealth than would ever be needed. That is also a kind of hypocrisy, he says. Fourth way in which a Swanishta Sadhaka can manifest hypocrisy is enthusiasm for meaningless temporary gains, even at the cost of envying and harming others. Right? Like, it could be whatever, you know, like stock market, or you know, whatever, cryptocurrency or whatever it may be, right? So enthusiasm for meaningless temporary gains, even at the cost of envying and harming others, you know, because when we get into that competing mood, then it becomes very difficult not to envy others. And sometimes we may envy others at the cost of harming them also, right? So this is the fourth way. The fifth is teaching twisted logic and self-motivated speculation in the name of giving education instead of cultivating spiritual knowledge. This is another type of hypocrisy, right? You have a position. People accept you as a spiritual practitioner, as a spiritual leader. But instead of teaching proper spirituality, you teach twisted logic or self-motivated speculation, which means rather than what the acharyas have given, we want to present things which are products of our fertile brain. We have thought in different ways. Very unique lessons and things like that I have derived from the story, and we want to present that rather than presenting the simple explanations that the acharyas have given. So this is all self-motivated speculation when we want to present, because people are willing to hear us. So this is another type of hypocrisy that can manifest in sadhakas. So, and another way is sometimes we may end up wearing the dress of a materially disinterested renunciate in order to gain material prestige. You see that, this may sound like, you know, absolute atheistic pretender. He's definitely not talking about an absolute atheistic pretender, because then we would not be discussing it in the sixth verse. He's a sincere devotee only, but getting carried away by the prospects of prestige, because Krishna Prem is not seen anywhere in vicinity. There is definitely this temptation to gratify oneself with the kind of material prestige and glorification that may come by wearing particular dress also, even though we may not be qualified for that. So these are the six ways in which hypocrisy can manifest in the Swanishta Sadakas, or deceitful nature can manifest in the Swanishta Sadakas, who perform only bhakti, and they may not engage in any kind of varnashrama duties. So he says that again, I will summarize. He says, indulging in sense gratification on the pretext of satisfying the Supreme God, serving rich influential materialists instead of serving simple nirapeksha servants of Krishna. So these, the whole, you can say like the whole institution, institutionalization makes this very complex actually. Even when we are engaged in fundraising, we should be very careful. The mood is very important. The mood should always be to give and not to take. And let them receive something tangible, and in reciprocation to that, if they feel inspired to contribute something to Krishna, then we may accept it and utilize it in Krishna, in Krishna's service. But if we become very much money conscious, then we will never be able to give pure Krishna consciousness. And the third way is accumulating more wealth than would ever be needed. This is also another way of deceitful nature may manifest. And the fourth thing is enthusiasm for meaningless temporary gains, even at the cost of envying and harming others. Fifth is teaching twisted logic and self-motivated speculation, right? In the name of giving education, instead of cultivating spiritual knowledge. This is very important actually. We can't be very eager and interested to share our own speculations. Rather, we should have great adoration. We should adore what our acharyas have given, what Srila Prabhupada has given. And when we adore, then we will be eager to share their insights, their realizations, rather than our own speculations. Right? So, because many times just to share what Prabhupada has given is so boring sometimes. People may feel it's so boring. Something new. I should share some new insights. But that new insight may actually be speculation, rather than actually proper understanding. So that is teaching twisted logic and self-motivated speculation in the name of giving education. And the sixth is wearing the dress of a materially disinterested renunciate in order to gain material prestige. So these are all various ways. Of course, no one starts out with any of these desires, but these are ways in which some immediate gratification one may get, and one may sort of get caught up with this myopic gratification, very short-sighted gratification, even though one might have started the journey with a far-fetched vision, a far-sighted vision of achieving the lotus feet of Krishna. But in between, we may get distracted with these things because they are very actually immediately gratifying, right? When you wear this dress and people give you respect, it feels some gratification. Or when you, instead of directly speaking what the acharyas have given, if you give some different lessons which the acharyas have never touched upon, people appreciate, right? And sometimes we become enthusiastic for temporary gains and things like that. So these are the six ways in which a Swanishta Sadhaka, who has dedicated to live his life practicing only bhakti, he can get distracted in this possible ways, right? He can fall trap to a deceitful nature. His deceitful nature can be exhibited in these six ways. Okay, so I will pause here for a couple of minutes to see if there are any quick comments or questions on this theme. Okay, one hand is up. Padma Sakhi Mataji, I'm unmuting you.
Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Puji.
Dhanvat Mataji.
Prabhuji, I just had one small confusion. The points for the Swanishta Sadhaka, the third and fourth, mm-hmm. how are they related to duplicity and hypocrisy? It looks more like Kama and Lobha, no?
Yeah, but it is not just that. Accumulating more wealth on the pretext of serving Krishna. So there is a hidden pretext there. That is why it comes in. That is why it comes in hypocrisy. Like someone may get into very. You can say like very deep absorption in stock market or whatever it may be. So that, they can gain more and of course that will come to temple only, right? Like that, in that mood. But then in the course of that, they may get caught up and they may sort of use it for self-aggrandizement rather than using it in Krishna's service. And even though they have gained money but lost their consciousness to, gaining money, which is actually in one sense lost, because these kind of endeavors are absolutely absorbing and it becomes very difficult to invest one's consciousness. So we may be investing our money, but we may not be able to invest our consciousness in Krishna's service. Then it becomes very difficult. So definitely there is lust involved, but it is not just lust, but lust with indulging in these kind of lusty endeavors on the pretext of service. So that's where the hypocrisy element comes. That's my understanding. Is that relevant, Mataji? Padmasthaki Mataji, is that relevant?
Hare Krishna.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, Prabhuji. Makes more sense. And also, Prabhuji, you mentioned about while fundraising and all, the consciousness matters.
Yeah.
But if targets are given, normally fundraisings are target oriented.
Yeah.
Then how can one maintain their consciousness?
That is why we are discussing, Mataji. Actually, we should be absolutely convinced that I am going to give. And just that we should try it out and Lakshmi may come, may not come. You may be able to meet your target or not meet your target. But our mood should be very clear. I am going to give. I am not going to take. Because in the end, we may take their money, but we may not be very successful in giving them Krishna consciousness. So, this is difficult. Actually, this is not just for followers to follow. It is very much for leaders also to think about that what kind of mood they want to inculcate to their followers so that they themselves remain Krishna conscious and they also share Krishna consciousness with others. And as a result, as a natural overflow, if some Lakshmi comes for the service of Krishna, that's between Krishna and the person who is sharing that Lakshmi. But ideally, this should be the mode of fundraising also, ideally. I mean, if one can follow it, if the leaders have this vision, it's very good. If not, at least the followers with this vision also, if you try to do fundraising, one can, whatever one can raise, that's okay. I mean, that's what I feel. In the long run, it will be, one may end up getting more Lakshmi also. Because when people feel that he is not here to rip me off, then he is my genuine well-wisher, they will naturally give more. Is that relevant, Mataji?
Yes, yes, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Venkat Govind Prabhu, you want to share something?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandat Pranam.
Dandat Prabhu.
Yeah, Prabhuji, this is regarding the second point which you mentioned, serving rich influential materialists instead of serving simple nirapeksha servants of Krishna. Prabhuji, many times we see that, you know, when a dignitary comes to the temple, we give a lot of importance even though he is not a devotee. I don't know how can I think that it is okay to, you know, give some respect and all that if there is no nirapeksha devotee around, and if a nirapeksha devotee is around, then we should take care of nirapeksha devotee.
Well, see, the application of this principle is, our first thing is, what we do externally is one thing. How do we feel internally? Do we get more excited and happy seeing a nirapeksha devotee? Or do we feel more excited and happy seeing a very wealthy materialist? See, externally how we deal is secondary. But first thing is internally how we feel. So that is okay. First, very, that is of paramount importance. Subsequently, okay, we may have to do certain things which are, you can say, like politically correct sometimes. But internally, what do we feel? That is very, very important, actually. Whose association we are hankering for? And with heart, whom do I want to serve? So that should be a nirapeksha devotee rather than a wealthy materialist. That should be very clear in our heart. Even though that may not give me any kind of monetary benefit, I don't really care, actually. I have come here to earn spiritual credits. I have not come here to earn pounds and shillings. So that, as long as that is properly written in our heart, then from an institutional point of view, we may have to act sometimes externally, but people can the nirapeksha people can clearly understand our deep appreciation if we actually have it. That's my understanding.
Okay, bro. Thank you, bro.
Hare Krishna. Anything else anyone would like to share? Okay. So then, so if this is, these are the six ways in which deceit can manifest in Swanishta Sadhakas. So deceit can also manifest in Parinishthita Sadhakas in two ways. Parinishthita Sadhakas are those who are Sadhakas only, but at the same time, they may also practice certain Varnashram rules which are favorable for bhakti, for setting the right example for others, right? So what are the two ways in which deceit manifests in them? So he says, first way is making an external show of strictly following rules and prohibitions while inwardly being very attached to material subjects unrelated to Krishna. So externally, one may seem to very strictly follow the rules and prohibitions, but internally being very attached to subjects unrelated to Krishna. This is one way. And the second is actually preferring the association of non-devotees rather than Krishna conscious devotees. So someone shared this thing, this quote by I think Kadambakanand Swami Maharaj, who said that if you have a karmi phone, then you have the association of a karmi, constant association of a karmi, and if you have a devotee phone, you have the constant association of a devotee, like that. So if we are constantly preferring the association of non-devotees rather than Krishna conscious devotees, this could be our phone also. This could be people also. So this is in the name of following the varnashram duties or engaged in all these duties. If we internally prefer associating with non-devotees more than actually devotees, then that is one way in which the deceitful nature can manifest in the parinishtita sadhaka. Right? Any quick comments before we move on to the next part? Okay, so if there are no questions, we will move on. He says, then the deceitful nature of the nirapeksha sadhaka can be exhibited in 8 ways. So what are these 8 ways? We will not take it right now because, you know, each one may manifest, each one may need some discussion, but it's already 8:58 and we have just 2 minutes left. So if anyone has some concluding remarks, we will take. Otherwise, we'll wind up for the day and continue it next Tuesday. Okay. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and participation. So we will continue this discussion next Tuesday. Oh, actually, next Tuesday is Radhashtami. So if next Tuesday is Radhashtami, I will let you know if there is a possibility of rescheduling it on some other day, because already we cancelled it last week. We may have to cancel it next week, but if there is a scope for not cancelling it and rescheduling it on some other day, or if the Radhashtami celebration, in most likely there might be lectures by some senior devotees, Maharaj, so on Radhashtami day. So I think most likely we may not be able to have our Manasiksha discussion on Radhashtami day. If possible, if there is a possibility of rescheduling it, I will reschedule. In worst case, we may have to cancel it, but I will keep you posted. So thank you all very much, and we will continue this discussion hopefully next week, but definitely not on Tuesday. It could be some other day. I will keep you posted. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami Pad ki jai, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai, Shri Manas Siksha ki jai. Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam.